Listen, friends, God invites us to step out and prove him. God wants us to step out and prove him. Psalm 81, verse 10, I am the Lord your God, he says. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
That was Lon Solomon, senior pastor of McLean Bible Church. And join us today as Lon brings us a special message from God's Word. And now, here's Lon.
You know, I'd like to begin today by asking a question. And here's my question. As the pastor of McLean Bible Church, what should be my number one objective when it comes to your life? Or to put it another way, what should be the primary thing that I want to see happen in your lives as the people of McLean Bible Church? Now, that's an excellent question. And let me tell you what I believe the answer is. I believe that my number one mission as your pastor is to enlarge your concept of God, to expand your understanding of who God is, his power, his authority, his majesty, his awesomeness, not, you understand, to try and make God bigger. God can't get any bigger, but rather to help each of us get a grasp on how big God already is. Now, folks, this is also what God wanted to do with the Israelites 3,500 years ago. And so we want to go back in history today, 3,500 years, and see what God did with them. And then we're going to bring all of that forward and we're going to talk about, okay, so what difference does that make to you and me? So if you brought a Bible, I'd like you to open your Bible with me to Exodus chapter 16. And you'll remember here in Exodus 16 that after camping at Elim for a month, the Israelites set off from Mount Sinai. They go into the interior of the Sinai desert, and this is where trouble erupted because they began to complain that they were running out of food. And so verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Verse 13, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when this dew evaporated on the surface of the ground, thin flakes like frost covered the desert floor. Verse 31. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey, and the Israelites called it manna. And remember, I told you a week or two ago that according to the quartermaster general of the United States Army, it would have taken 1,500 tons of manna every single day to feed the entire Israelite population out in the wilderness. Now, what this means, folks, is that manna is inexplicable in human terms. Manna is inexplicable in naturalistic terms. Manna was a marvelous miracle from God that he sent to prove to the Israelites he was able to meet their every need in the desert by his own awesome supernatural power. Verse 35, and the Israelites ate manna for 40 years. They ate manna until they came to the border of the promised land, which is where it stopped. Now you say, well, Lon, that's wonderful. But you know, we already know all that. I mean, we've already talked about all that. Okay, well, now God, however, tells the Israelites to do something very interesting. Look at verse 32. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna, an omer is about a half a gallon. Take a half a gallon of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. Verse 34, so as the Lord commanded, Aaron took a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and they kept it inside the tent of meeting. Now, just so you know, this jar of manna would later go inside the Ark of the Covenant. You know, that thing that Indiana Jones was looking for, you understand. And eventually, this jar of manna found its final resting place in the temple in Jerusalem, which was built 500 years after the events of Exodus chapter 16. But the question is, why did God tell the Israelites to save a jar of manna like this? Well, he answers the question right here in the passage. Look at verse 32. God says, I want you to keep it. Here's why. For the generations to come, so that they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert. Now, can you imagine? Think about it. 100 years after Exodus 16, the Israelites are in the promised land. Some father is sitting down to tell his children about how in the desert their grandfathers and great-grandfathers ate this stuff that fell out of heaven every night. 1,500 tons of it fell out of heaven every night for 40 years. Can you imagine the children sitting there and going, "All right, right. You don't really expect us to believe that, do you? Who told you that? Well, why do you even believe that?" And you see, my friends, this is why God told Moses and Aaron to save some of this manna, because it put this father in the position of being able to say to his children, "Hey, don't sit there and say, 'Right.' Get up and I'll take you down to the temple and I'll show it to you. You can see the stuff that they ate." You see, my friends, God wanted Moses and Aaron to save some manna so that generations of Israelites to come would have visible, tangible proof of one of the great things that God did for them out in the Sinai desert. And so, the point here, let's summarize, is that God could have fed the Israelites in 100 less dramatic ways than manna. But he did it this way, with manna from heaven, 1,500 tons of it per day, in order to show the Israelites his immensity, his omnipotence, in order to expand their understanding of the size, the majesty, and the power of God. And God told them to always carry some manna along with them because God did not want them to forget in the promised land what they had learned about him in the desert. Let me repeat that. God did not want the Israelites to forget in the promised land what they had learned about him in the desert, and that is that he was a huge and awesome God. Now, that's as far as we're going to go in the passage for today, because it's time to stop and ask our most important question. And you know what? As a special Christmas present for me, could I ask you to do this really, really loud? Don't send me cards. Don't send me presents. Just give me one good "so what." Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
"So what?"
Wow. Why don't you guys do that every week? No, that's wonderful. I feel so affirmed and loved. I can't even express it to you. Honest. That's great. You say, "All right, Lon, so what? All right, there's no manna around today that anybody can take us and show us. So what difference does any of this make to my life?" Well, listen, here's our question for today. As followers of Christ, why is it so important for us to have a big view of God? God wanted these Israelites to keep that manna around so they'd always have a big view of God. Friends, today, why is it important as followers of Christ for us to have a big view of God? Well, the answer is this: because how much we can believe God for is directly proportional to the size of our God. Or to put it another way, the bigger our concept of God, the more we can trust him for. And as followers of Christ, let me tell you how this works out practically in our lives. God's made us in the Bible all these wonderful promises. So when we're going through tough times, friends, when we're struggling with doubt and anger and unbelief, when we're struggling to maintain hope, to maintain strength, to maintain resiliency, what do our Christian friends most often do? Well, they come along and they share with us a promise from God's Word. They remind us of a promise from God's Word. They give us a promise from God's Word. And yet so often, that doesn't help. Now, why doesn't it? Well, the problem, after 26 years of being a pastor, here's my assessment. The problem is with giving Christians the promises of God over and over and over again when they're going through tough times, the problem is that for so many of us, folks, the size of our God, the concept of God in our minds is too small to really allow us to believe those promises. The concept of God that we have is too small to allow us to step out by faith on those promises. I mean, you can tell me all day long, Romans 8:28, that God has promised to turn all things into good, to work all things together for good. You can tell me that all day long when I'm going through tough times. But if my concept of God is not big enough, if my understanding of God's power, his omnipotence, and his sovereignty is not big enough in my mind and heart to believe that, that promise is no good to me at all. It's not worth the paper it's written on because I don't have the ability to step out on it and to walk by faith on it. Folks, giving people the promises of God when their concept of God is too little to respond is like trying to build a skyscraper on a foundation of marshmallow. You understand? What I'm trying to say to you is that for so many of us as followers of Jesus, for so many of us, the size of our God is simply too small to bear the weight of God's promises. Now, that's a problem. Because when we look at the great men and women of God in the Bible, what we find and down through history is what made them the great men and women of God is that their concept of God was big enough that they were able to step out on the promises of God. Think about Abraham. God appears to Abraham and he says, Abraham, I got a promise for you. You leave your home, leave your country, leave your people, leave your friends, follow me out into nowhere. I'm not even telling you where we're going and I will make you a great nation. Now see, the thing that made Abraham the great man of God he was, is that Abraham had a big view of God, big enough that he could grab a hold of that promise and step out and walk by faith and believe God. He had that same big view of God when it came to God's promise, that God was going to give him a son. When the Bible says that his body was dried up and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, you know what? God gave him a promise and Abraham says, I can believe you for that, God, because I know who you really are. I think about Moses. It was because Moses had a big view of God that when God promised him at the burning bush what God was going to do with Egypt, Moses was able to go back and face the most powerful ruler of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, and Moses was able to bring that nation and that ruler to their knees. It was because Daniel had a big view of God, that he and his three friends could say to King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't care, throw us in the lion's den, throw us in the fiery furnace, our God is able to save us. And finally, it's because David had a big view of God, that he was able to grab a hold of God's promises and walk out and face Goliath. Now listen, you go out and face Goliath, you better have not just a big concept of God, you better have a big God. 9.5 feet tall this guy was. Friends, his spear weighed more than David weighed. And listen what David said to him. David said, 1 Samuel 17, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, David said, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I will cut your head off. He even said to him, I will feed you to the birds, so all the world will know that there is a God in Israel. Now, these people, Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, these people, don't miss this now, were all able to rise up and act on God's promises and step out by faith on God's promises. Why? Because they had a big enough view of God to allow them to. And in fact, this is the number one lesson that the Lord Jesus was trying to drive home to the disciples in everything he did and everything he said, because he knew that the size of the mission he could give them, the size of the assignment he could give them, could never rise higher than the size of their God. And friends, this is true for you and me as followers of Christ. The size of the mission and the assignment God can give us can never rise higher than our concept of God, than the size of our God. Now, all of this leads us, of course, to the million-dollar question. And that is, how can we enlarge our concept of God? And may I say at the beginning here, that folks, God is the only one who can do this for you and me. The Spirit of God is the one who has to open our hearts spiritually and reveal who the living God is to us. However, there are some things that you and I can do to accelerate the process. There are some things that you and I can do to facilitate the process of the Holy Spirit doing this for us. And I've got four I want to share with you and then we're done. How can you facilitate and accelerate the Spirit of God showing you who God is? Number one, saturate your life with the written word of God. You say, but Lon, I already read my Bible regularly, but my Bible reading is not expanding my view of God like you're saying. Well, friends, maybe you're reading your Bible the wrong way. You say, what? How can you read the Bible the wrong way? You can't. See, there are lots of people who read the Bible with their focus in the wrong place. They read the Bible with their focus on theology or doctrine or church policy or Christian living or prophecy. But listen to what Jesus said, Luke 24. He said, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, going all the way back to Genesis 1 and going all the way through the Old Testament, listen, Jesus explained to his disciples what was said in all the scripture about theology. No, that's not what it says. About doctrine. No, that's not what it says. About prophecy. That's not what it says. Jesus explained what was said in all the scriptures about himself. Friends, every piece of history in the Bible, every piece of doctrine in the Bible, every Old Testament story, every New Testament parable, everything Jesus said, every action Jesus took, every miracle Jesus performed are all meant to teach us something about who God is. His nature, his person, his power, his majesty, his holiness, his mercy, the way he ticks. And the correct way to read the Bible is every day to read it and say, now, Lord, what does what I just read tell me about you? You, Lord. Friends, you read your Bible like that, and I promise you, God will use the Bible to reveal himself to you, to enhance your understanding of who he is, and expand your concept of his greatness and his power. Suggestion number two is pray for a bigger view of God. I mean, we said the Holy Spirit himself's got to open our hearts and reveal God to us, and yet most of us are so caught up praying about our problems that we totally miss the most exalted purpose of prayer, and that is to get to know God better, to deepen our grasp of God. David prayed this, Psalm 25. He said, Lord, show me your ways. Moses prayed this, Exodus 13. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your person, your character, your majesty, your power. Frankly, God was honored by such requests. And God did for these men what they asked him. Listen, you want to know God bigger and better than you know God right now? Friends, then you ask him like David did. You ask him like Moses did. Make the number one priority in your prayer life every single day for God to deepen your vision, deepen your concept of who he is, and he'll do it. You say, well, how? How can I simply pray and God increases my concept of God? I don't know. I don't care. What difference does it make how he does it? The important thing is he does it. Number three, read the biographies of the great men and women of God in the past. If you want to increase your concept of God, read what God did in their lives in the past. Hey, I got an interesting question for you. Do you remember what the very first thing was God said to Moses at the burning bush after he took his shoes off? What was the very first thing God said to him? You say, I know. God said, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to schwack Yul Brynner. No, that is not the first thing God said to him. The first thing God said to Moses, you go check it out, is, Moses, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The very first thing God did with Moses is point him backwards into history, backwards hundreds of years to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and to what God did for them. Why? Because God wanted Moses to understand that all of the things that God did for them, the way God took care of Abraham out in the unknown wilderness, the way God gave Abraham Isaac, that miracle son, the way God dropped fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, the way God provided for Isaac and protected Jacob and made Joseph prime minister, the way God did all of that, he wanted Moses to understand, guess what, Moses? You got the very same God today. I'm the same God who did all that. And if I did it for them, I can do it for you. Finally, number four, want to expand your concept of God? The number four, give God the chance to show you his greatness right now in your everyday experiences. You know, our vision of God will never fully expand just from Bible reading and prayer. Friends, an army, for example, may train and train and train, but that army never knows how good it really is till it gets in combat. And you know what? You and I will never really begin to grasp the greatness of God until we test it in real life. And every time we step out in real life, every time we step out in faith and trust God for something, even if it's little, and God responds and shows us his power and does it, it expands our understanding of the power of God, and it enables us to trust God for more next time. Trusting God, growing to understand God, is a process, friends, that starts little and grows big. Friends, listen. Developing a big view of God is a process. And maybe you can't trust God right now to open the Red Sea. Maybe you can't trust God right now to get you Redskins tickets, although frankly, I don't think you need God's help to get Redskins tickets right now. That's pretty funny, isn't it? That is good. But listen, can you trust God for something smaller and give him the chance to show you his power in something smaller? Can you trust him to help you find a new job? Can you trust him to help you with your SATs? Can you trust him to find a new house or to share Christ with a friend at work or to find a parking space at the mall? Can you trust him and step out and lead a small group or be an apprentice in a small group? Can you trust him to help you raise support to go on a global missions trip for 2 weeks? Can you trust him to lead a Bible study? Folks, all these great men and women of God we spoke about, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, David, they all started trusting God for smaller things. David didn't start with Goliath. He started with lions and bears out tending sheep. Moses didn't start at the burning bush. He started with God taking care of him 40 years in the wilderness on his own. Daniel started not with the lion's den, but with 10 days on vegetables. So let's summarize. Want to have a big view of God? We want you to have a big view of God. Friends, my goal is after attending McLean Bible Church for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I want you to be able to say, you know what? The size of my God is orders of magnitude bigger than before I came to McLean Bible Church. That's what we want you to say. How do you do that? Well, folks, you cooperate with the Holy Spirit in four ways. Number one, you saturate your life with God's Word, and you read God's Word correctly. What does this teach me about God, what I'm reading? Number two, we pray and ask God for a bigger view of Himself. Number three, we read the biographies of great men and women in the past, and we remind ourselves that what God did for them, we have the same God today. And number four, we give God, in our everyday experiences, the chance to show His power. And we use those as stepping stones to trust him for more. And let me say on that last point, I want to challenge you. You don't need to protect God. Friends, you don't need to run interference for God. God's big enough, he doesn't need your help. All he needs you to do is step out and give him the opportunity to show you how great he is. To create a platform and let God take that platform and do something that'll increase your faith and increase your understanding of God. Stop running interference for God in your life. Stop trying to protect God in your life. Stop making excuses for God in your life. He doesn't need you to do that. He just needs you to step out and let him show you who he is. You do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for talking to us today about the number one goal that we have as a church with the people who come here and know you. The number one goal that Jesus had with the disciples, the number one goal that you had with the Israelites in the desert, and that is to teach us who you really are, your size, your awesomeness, your sovereignty, your omnipotence, your majesty, such that we can take the promises of God in the Bible and we can step out on them by faith because the size of our God is big enough to allow us to do that. Lord, expand our view of God here. Use this church and use me in the lives of the people here to help all of us grow every single year to a bigger understanding of your awesomeness so that you can use us in more awesome ways. Lord, change our lives because we were here today. Make us different people because we sat under the teaching of God's Word and the Holy Spirit applied it to our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Pastor Lon Solomon. So What is a broadcast extension of McLean Bible Church in Northern Virginia. If you would like to listen to today's message, you can download it at mcleanbible.org, and you can also subscribe to our podcast. For service times, directions, or more information about McLean Bible Church, check out our website, mcleanbible.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week when Lon answers one of life's most important questions, So What?